Hello and welcome to Monday Night Magic. This is Vincent, and you may be wondering, where the heck is Tom? He had the nerve to, go on a vacation. We've also been gone for a while due to various difficulties getting people together. So it's just going to be me and Brent tonight. Say hi, Brent.
Hi, Brent.
Yeah. So, yeah, we've got a ton of stuff to talk about as Thunder Junction is finally being officially spoiled. Because instead we've had the leaks, which gave us the template of what to expect. But now we have the actual full set is spoiled at this point. Like most of the important cards, like I think it's like 230 of like 250 something, according to Mythic Spoiler. Obviously, that doesn't mean that spoilers are anywhere close to done, because we've got a million other sets to go through. Yeah, there are five different related sets to this. Pop quiz, can you name them?
No. Name the 500. Okay, there's, is it called The Score?
That's one. And I'll also give you like the main set is I'm counting as one of them. So like,
okay, so the main set score, is there a vault or something, or is that score? That's the score,
vault is the big score. Yes.
Okay, so that's only two. All right, I'm not doing very good at this.
Well, ones with every single set has a related set and isn't actually in the play booster, so it kind of counts.
Let's see. Is it the what is it? Special guests?
Yeah, that's there. That's not what I was thinking, but yeah, okay. Special guests. Yeah.
What is it? Is it the cheat sheet? Whatever those, they had them for each. Is that, or is that what the score? No, the score is what the aftermath component was supposed
yes,
to.
Yes. And that has replaced like the most of the list.
Okay. Oh, okay. So is most of the, so is the list the other one?
The list or is the has special guests on it too. That's what I mean okay. by most of it. But there's no random cards stuck into packs this time around.
Yeah. I'm striking out here. I'm pretty sure.
So you got three of the five. Well, the obvious one that I was hinting at is the Commander subset, of course.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And then there's the breaking news, which is our bonus sheet for this go-around.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah, that's not confusing at all. I'm glad Wizards has made it nice and simple.
Yeah, we just have so many different things in these packs. Like, and heck, even the land slot isn't just basic lands this go-around, because we have duels in it. Because why not? Yeah.
What kind of duels? Wait, you mean regular duels?
No, like desert duels that seem actually pretty strong, at least if we didn't have 500 other types of duels in current standard. But yeah.
Well, they seem pretty well. When we talk about the mechanics, we'll see how awesome they are.
Yeah. Because these lands will help you commit crimes, and there's lots of crimes to commit.
What is it like to commit a crime when we're talking about it from a Magic the Gathering standpoint?
It means you steal your opponent's deck and then you win by default.
Okay, well that's
or it just means you target them or some of their stuff.
You target them or some of their stuff, right? It's that simple.
Yeah.
Right? What does some of their stuff consist of? So any permanents on the battlefield?
Yeah, their spells, their cards in their graveyard. Yeah, themselves. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So that's what makes the deserts so awesome, right?
Those because they deal one damage to target opponent when you play them. And the other part is just that, like, if you compare to the gain lands, dealing one damage is generally better than gaining one life.
Yes.
And, of course, they're also deserts, which matters a decent amount in this set.
Yep. Yeah, right, because they have there is a desert. It seems like there's a desert sub-theme.
Yeah.
We'll see if it actually fills out for limited, but yes.
Yeah. It can't be much worse than the caves were in Ixalan.
They tried. I mean, they tried.
Like it should have been nice good. It's just the fact that the format was super duper fast.
Yeah. Well, that's been like the last few formats have been super duper fast. But
that's because every single set is super duper fast.
And why is every set super duper fast, Vincent? It's your favorite four-letter word that begins with F.
Because they want games to be faster on Arena. And because they want.
Because they want. They want to be fast. They want to be. Is this part of fire design?
Yeah. I mean, fire is part of it. But, like, fire was a thing before they started going to super duper. But we are on a timer today, so let's not get into the big rant about. Well, I'm sure it'll come up when we get to the things that have been printed that are dumb. But, yeah.
Okay. So, all right.
Okay, so next mechanic. We have mounts finally in Magic.
Mount?
Yeah.
What is a mount?
It's a creature that you can crew.
Oh,
or
okay.
You can saddle, I guess.
Yeah, you can saddle it because it's that crew.
And then, so like it can normally, like any creature can just attack and block normally, but it gets an extra benefit if it attacks or if it deals damage while it's saddled, depending on the card.
That's right. And you can only saddle as a sorcery, correct?
Yeah, that's another
important
part. So it's
a little different than crewing there.
Yeah, which I think they said, like, they don't want to run past your opponents and then have someone jump on it. That wouldn't make much sense. And it'd probably make new cards like the stupid Snapcaster be dumb.
Oh, it's not a Snapcaster reprint, though, right?
It's a new similar thing. It's Archmage's Newt. It's a 2-mana 2/2. First one in a blue 2/2 without a drawback. So it's whenever it deals, it's a Salamander Mount. Whenever a card name deals combat damage to a player, target instant or sorcery card in your graveyard gains flashback until end of turn. Seems okay to start, but the trick is, the flashback cost is equal to its mana cost, I should have said, The trick is that card gains flashback 0 until end of turn instead if it's saddled.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Wait, 0? Legit?
Yes.
Oh my goodness. Oh, okay. And what's the saddle cost?
3. So it's not trivial, but there are ways to do it. But the problem is, it's still just, it's on a 2-mana 2/2 because of things. And then,
mana 2/2s are not what they used to be.
Yeah, I know, because every good card's a 3/2 for 2 now with upside, because...
There you go. So even though it's a 2/2 for one in a blue with no downside, could you say it's not as good as the other ones are if we're keeping pace with what Magic has been turning into lately?
Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean I have to like it. But yeah.
All right, so that's that is saddle, right?
Yeah.
So, and any creature that can be saddled will have mount.
Mount creature type. So that's a creature type. And there are other cards that like help to work with mounts. Like there's a land that traps for any color if you have a mount for mounts. And there's things that return mounts specifically or care about mounts. Yeah. Another thing you can care about are outlaws.
Outlaws? What's an outlaw?
It's our newest batch. So the assassins, mercenaries, pirates, rogues, and warlocks are outlaws. And you'll have cards that refer to those creatures types. So a bunch of those creature types are in the set, and then you have a bunch of cards that refer to them and do different things.
And whenever it has that outlaw, it will have that in the reminder text. Assuming there's room for it.
Or if it's not a booster fun card, that don't have reminder text.
Well, yeah, okay, yes, booster, yes, that's booster fun in air quotes, but yes. Okay, we've talked about mounts, and we've talked about what, is that one really, that's not a keyword, it's a new grouping, I guess. What did you say it was for Outlaw?
Batch, I guess. Like I'm
batch. Okay, so we have that batch. So what else? Committing crimes.
And if you listen to we got plot next, which is kind of like a foretell suspend hybrid type of thing. So you cast a spell for its plot cost, and then you can cast it for free at sorcery speed on a future turn.
Ah, so you're like prepaying for it, but your opponent will know what it is.
Yeah, and some of them have cheaper plot costs. Other have effects that you might like to have a bunch of mana up for, like casting other spells beforehand. Yeah. The flashiest one is that there's a time twister with plot.
There's a time twister? I'm sure that nothing will go wrong with that.
There's also one that's like sack any number of permanents, draw that many cards with plot.
Oh, okay. All right.
They want combo to exist in the worst way. And that's ignoring some of the more blatant combos we'll get to in a bit. Yeah.
We're committing crimes. We can mount, right? We have saddle.
Yeah.
So those are with mounts. We've defined what the batch of outlaws are. And now we've gone into plots. Like, is that all the new? Is there any other?
There's
new
one
mechanic?
More left, at least in terms of new ones. So, like, you, if you listen to the last podcast where we talked about the leaks, you know about all that. Well, this last one was technically leaked, but apparently it was on like one blurry card that wasn't part of any of the like the widespread leaks. And that is Spree, okay. Our newest modal mechanic. So, if we look at a Spree card, like I'm looking at Final Showdown here. So it costs one mana, but it's got a weird plus sign in the upper right-hand corner. So it's got Spree, where you choose one or more additional costs. So Final Showdown, it's a plus one, all creatures lose all abilities until end of turn. Oh, it's an instant, which is relevant, as we'll get to. Plus one generic mana. Choose a creature you control, it gains indestructible until end of turn. Or plus three white, destroy all creatures.
Wow.
So yet you another cast all that for eight
now,
mana.
Here, you have to, though. Like, you can't just play a Spree spell without choosing it, right? You can't just pay a
you
white mana
pay,
and cast Final Stone and do nothing.
Right.
You have to pay at least
one or more. You can't just get it for prowess.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's why I was like, it's just Spree
is a neat set of cards. Like, there are a bunch of different things. So, like, there's a new Tooth and Nail with Spree.
Of course, that's what actually that was going to be a question I was going to ask. So what cards does Spree make now obsolete? You know, that's it, right? If you think about it, when you can have that choice on there and just go on, you know, big bang, boom, choose which ones.
I mean, in general, they're more expensive than what they are, or they have like other things. Like the simple example, we've got Requisition Raid, which is white for a Spree card. Plus one, destroy target artifact. Plus one, destroy target enchantment. Plus one, put a plus one counter on each creature target player controls. It's not technically obsoleting disenchant since it's a sorcery speed, but still it's pretty dang close.
Well, it is, yeah, because you get those choices with it, right? So disenchant, you're correct. It's an instant. You're paying that. But this, you play this in your deck. Yeah. So your sorcery, you're losing instant, but now you're getting an option. You don't have an artifact or enchantment to destroy. Instead, you're putting a counter on, right? Is this modal? Was that the correct term for this kind of spell?
Yeah, this is all modal, which is relevant if we go to the new Riku that I can pull up, which is one of the neater legends in the set. Do you remember the old
legend.
Riku?
No. He was in the original Commander product, correct?
Yes, the one that copies instant or sorceries or copies commanders for teamer mana. So, yeah. Okay. So, the new Riku of Many Paths is a 3-mana 3/3 teamer. So, like, green, blue, red. So, it's a legendary creature, human wizard. Whenever you cast a modal spell, choose up to X, where X is the number of times you chose a mode for that spell. Exile the top card of your library until the end of your next turn. You may play it. Put a +1/+1 counter on card name against trample until end of turn. And or create a +1/+1 bird, blue bird creature token with flying. All on a 3/3 for three. It's a neat design. So it's like it benefits if you play charms or commands or all the new Spree spells.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I see what you're saying with that. That is pretty interesting. And looking over the spoiler so far, there's a lot of legends in this set.
Yeah, because the whole gimmick is that all of the bad guys have shown up here in this formerly deserted plane that's a Western, and like they're all showing up.
Yeah, I'm going to have to read through more of these legendaries. There's a lot of legendary creatures.
Yes. And yet there are two planeswalkers for the first time in a while.
Oh, there are two?
That's yeah. So, like, we've seen the old Oak, like, the new Oko for a while, because that was part of the intro. But the other one is our new Jace.
Oh, yeah. Oh, spoiler alert.
Jace spoiler the Awakened.
You forgot spoiler, Vincent. Now everybody's going to... Everybody should have read the story up to now, because I know there's all dozen of us that read that on the mothership. But yes. Jace is a planeswalker here. Are we going to spoil what happened with Jace?
I don't think we care, and we got a lot to get through.
Oh, okay.
Maybe we'll talk about the spoiler when we're all here, and there's not much else to talk about next week. So it's Jace Reawakened for blue. Yes, that's a 2-mana planeswalker. The first one in standard since Tybalt. Oh, boy. But the trick is... You can't cast this spell during your first, second, or third turns of the game. Hi, Sarah Avenger. So it's
Yeah!
Yeah, so it's got plus one, draw a card, then discard a card. Oh, it's for three loyalty. So plus one, draw a card, then discard a card. Plus one, you may exile a non-land card with mana value three or less from your hand. If you do, it becomes plotted. And minus six, whenever until end of turn, whenever you cast a spell, copy it. You may choose new targets for the copy. So, yeah. There's a couple things. First of all, the reason that there's a second Planeswalker in the set is because apparently Jace was going to be part of the Aftermathy set that they were going to print. But instead, like, I guess you can't have a human in the vault, so he's just part of the main set, and then there's two Planeswalkers. Sure. And the other thing is, it's one of the few cards that lets you plot things that aren't necessarily things with plot. And pop quiz, what are you supposed to plot with this?
Well, I'm going to fail this pop quiz because I don't even know, like, what's the plot cost? Is it just the mana value then?
No, I mean, you plot it, you plus one, you exile a card with mana value three or less, and then you can just cast it for free whenever you do. Because if it becomes plotted.
Oh, okay. So then you cast it, and then it becomes plotted. So there must be some card that has, like, some just berserk plot. Like, if you plot the card, it does something insane.
No, it's a card without plot. It's just the way that it's a card that if it has a mana value of three or less, and then you exile it, you can cast it any way you want, any way you can normally.
Like, say, I would like to phone a friend. Vincent, you're my friend. what card is it?
The main one is Valky.
Oh, really?
Yes, we have yet another way to cast a 7-mana Tybalt for extremely cheap.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, it is. Oh.
Yeah. And in Standard, you can do Bramble Familiar, and it's 7-mana thing, too. The Adventure. The one
what on Earth? Yep, yeah. It is. Yep, there you go.
Yes.
So when you do that plot, though, right, Bramble Familiar, you're playing it, you won't be able to plot it, though, off as the fetch quest, right?
Yes, you will. I mean, you'll plot it, and then you can cast either side of it when you decide to cast it for free.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, this is, yeah, okay.
You do have to wait a turn, but still.
Yeah, you only have to wait a turn until you do some really busted stuff. So, yeah, okay, that's mm-hmm. good job. Unless, now, if somebody takes care. Well, no, it doesn't matter, right? Because once it's plotted, it's plotted. So it doesn't matter. That's like someone take care of Jace, but it doesn't matter. That card's already plotted.
Yeah, I mean, there's ways you can stop exile things. Like, there's the new spell queller. See if I can find what it actually is. Yeah, Aven Interrupter. It's one white for a 2/2 flash flying. When it ETBs, exile target spell, it becomes plotted. Spells your opponents cast from graveyards or from exile cost two more to cast. So it's kind of like a reprieve, but instead of having to cast the whole spell again, it costs two. But still, that's nice to have on a 2/2 flyer.
Well, and he's a rogue, so he would be a part of the outlaw.
Yeah, he's an outlaw, like everything else is in the set.
That's not a mount. are you getting that feel that there's going to be a lot of assassins, mercenaries, pirates, rogues, and warlocks?
I mean, it depends. Like, some of them are probably more for backwards and forwards compatibility. Like, pirates are almost certainly chosen because Ixalan has a bunch of them, and assassins make sense with Assassin's Creed coming soon.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true. Do you know what creature type? I've just discovered this, searching myself. What creature type decided to make a pop-up into Outlaws of Thunder Junction that we haven't seen in forever?
Oh, did you find the Brushwag?
Oh, I found Brushwag. This one, I think, is older than Brushwag. Mm. It's in the color blue. I believe it first
we
came
have
out
a Homerid,
in
Homerid, I think, yeah.
Yeah, there's a Homerid Mercenary. So it's an outlaw, too.
Yeah.
Whenever you commit a crime, each opponent mills three cards. This ability triggers only once each turn. Doesn't that kind of seem like a crab, like, right, the crab ability? Like, are they ever going to bring Crab Homerid together? Or another podcast.
Things in the water apparently mill things, yeah.
There you go, yeah. So, okay, cool. All right, so there are ways.
So, as I was talking about combos, I just mentioned the one with Valky. But there's one that's a two-card instant win combo in Standard. Now. It will be once.
Yeah, I saw this online.
Yeah.
It is the Bloodletter of Alka-Seltzer.
Yep.
And whichever one in this set makes you lose half your life.
Yeah, the spree blood, card that makes you lose half your life.
Yeah,
that
because Bloodletter of I call him Alka-Seltzer. Mm-hmm. That one, whenever you would lose life, you lose twice as much life. So yeah. If you do some math, twice of half, 0.5 times 2 is 1. So you lose all your life.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. And that's all mono black, too.
Yes. And it's not like they're bad cards on their own, because like the one that lets you lose half your life is a spree card. So why can't I find? Oh, here it is. Rush of Dread. So it's a 1 black sorcery with spree. So +1, target opponent sacrifices half the creatures they control rounded up. +2, target opponent discards half the cards in their hand rounded up. +2, target opponent loses half their life rounded up. So obviously the cut curve is play for 1 black, you play the Bloodletter, and then the next turn, assuming it didn't die, you can do the Rush of Dread with the lose half their life. Yeah. Or if you're in Pioneer/Explorer, you can play Mono Black Devotion, use Nykthos to play them both in the same turn.
This sounds like a lot of fun. Really? That's not what I wanted. Oh yeah, because then with Nykthos. Why yes. do you do that? Why do you do that? Because yeah, Bloodletter alone is going to be 3 right there. Yeah, look at you all fancy pants. Look at that. I'm still looking at more of this as we're talking. I'm looking.
Yeah,
at
like
more
of this I word. Played it. My FNM was a Theros Beyond Death draft, and I played against an opponent who was mono black with 2 gray merchants. Fun.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a. So you're telling us you lost that game?
Yeah, that game. Though I actually drew the match because I didn't do much in the first game.
Oh, well, hey, that's good. Yeah. Though you drew the match.
Yeah.
That's pretty nice. Was that that was for you said Friday Night Magic? That was last night? Oh, that's actually pretty cool. I don't think I've ever drafted Theros.
Yeah, because that kind of happened in February 2020 is when it came out.
Oh,
yeah, I remember I did the pre-release and then the world ended. And then I played a bunch of it on Arena.
It didn't end. See, ta-da, it didn't end. We're all still here. So, yay, it's the friends we made along the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that seems pretty cool. That seems good.
So, what are some of the other things? Oh, we have a couple of mythic reprints that are interesting. Some of them don't make any sense in the set, but that's beside the point. So we have Archangel of Tides returning from, what is it, Magic Origins.
Yeah.
So it's a 1 white for a 3/5 flyer. As long as it's untapped, creatures can't attack you or planeswalker control, unless their controller plays 1 for each of those creatures. As long as it's attacking, creatures can't block unless their controller plays 1 for each of those creatures. So yeah. It also helps against like the token strategies we have in Standard currently, like Boros Convoke. And it also was like really expensive, though presumably it's not for a reason now.
Yeah, it looks like, let's see, 1488 is what I'm showing. Yeah. Popping up for the non-foil from the Origins. So
yeah, because we'll that had only been printed in Magic Origins and on the list.
What does Archangel of Tides have to do with Outlaws of Thunder Junction?
Yeah.
It's not an outlaw. It's an angel. Maybe it's there to try and keep some.
But it has a cowboy hat, so that's something. Yeah. Unlike exactly. The second mythic reprint for the main scent, randomly, Terror of the Peaks.
What? Let's see Terror of the Peaks. Yeah, that's no cowboy hat. You're correct. I do not see a cowboy hat in the dragon.
So it's a 3 red dragon, 5/4 flying. Spells your opponents cast to target Terror of the Peaks cost an additional 3 life to cast. Whenever another creature enters the battlefield under your control, Terror of the Peaks deals damage equal to the creature's power to any target. So obviously good dragon stuff. And we still have some dragon synergies in the set. Like there's the Sarkid from Aftermath. There's Rivaz of the Claw. Other things.
Wow. Jeez. Oh, why is that? Well, I guess maybe they are effectively using, right, those... I know there's not... Right, there's not the list in this, whatever that spot is called, the magical name. Right, is this a way that Wizards is probably using it to try and make cards more available? Even though Wizards says they're not concerned with the sucking.
Yeah, they clearly want to make cards available. And like an Archangel Tithe thing, that also puts it on Arena for the first time, which is neat. Another Pioneer-like fringe player.
There you go. Okay.
Yeah, like
okay.
There are other things that are we know that are coming. Like one of the special guests is Notion Thief, which is the first time on Arena, which is nice.
Oh. And I would argue it's timely. Notion Thief is a rogue.
That's the point.
So it would be an outlaw. See, look at that. Look at wizards. Aren't they fancy? They're putting together themes and everything. I have to look now at more of the spoilers to see how many cowboy hats there are.
A lot.
There better be a lot. Yeah. If I see an outlaw, no, I already found one. Nurturing Pixie is a rogue. Does not have a cowboy hat. Does not have a cowboy hat. I am disappointed.
Oh, that's a neat card I didn't see before that like works with the outlaws and stuff. It's Caught in the Crossfire. It's a spree card for red. Plus one, Caught in the Crossfire deals two damage to each outlaw creature, or plus one, Caught in the Crossfire deals two damage to each non-outlaw creature.
Ah. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. So see, you can throw that together. You try and do your little fancy limited deck and try and make a outlaw one. There you go. Yeah. See? You're going to do that. You're going to do that at least once, aren't you? You're going to do it at a draft.
I mean, we'll see how good the themes are. Yeah, like we've seen, I think we know most of the themes, like red-blue is like a casting multiple spells in one turn using plot. There's a ramp deck like there always is. Like, did you see this Seth's generic Simic commander?
That's what I was going to say. Doc Orlok. We were going to talk, right? You'd already pointed that out. Correct? Uncommon?
That's not the one. I'm talking about Bonnie Paul. Mr. Paul Bunyan, blatant on the nose, that's every single other Simic commander I ever printed.
Let's see. Hold on. I'm going to scroll to find it.
Yeah.
Paul Bunyan. So it must be a giant. Is it an outlaw of some sort?
It's a giant scout. So Bonnie Paul Clearcutter is 3 green, blue. For a legendary creature, giant scout, 6/5 reach. When it ETBs, create BEAU, however you say that, a legendary blue ox creature token with this creature's power and toughness or each equal number of lands you control. Whenever you attack, draw a card, then you may put a land card from your hand or graveyard onto the battlefield. In other words, it's the same ability every single generic Simic commander has.
But can you give Wizards a thumb up for that creative name?
No.
Bonnie Paul instead of Paul Bunyan. Really? Really? And Bo instead of Blue? Come on. You got to give him something. Give him a thumbs up for that. That is creative. Now, it's a scout, but I think that's creative. Okay. Thank you for letting me say it's not creative.
It's too on the nose. Like, I liked it when the blatant references were subtle unless you were looking for them. Like how Grave Ramble is a plant with protection from zombies.
Okay, yeah. Okay, you... So wait, you're saying you like it when it's blatant but still subtle? I don't know. I think
if you know your know what it is, it makes sense. But like, it's not screaming, "I am real world reference number 72." Like me, I am obvious.
No one says you have to like Bonnie Paul Clearcutter. I'm just saying, I think that's kind of nice that they figured something out like that. Yeah, no, I thought it was going to be the
Doc Orlok is neat too, which. Seems interesting, and of course it's on a 2-mana 2/3, which is probably why it's interesting.
Yeah, right. 2-mana Doc Orlok, Grizzle Genius, a green and a blue mana. He's a legendary creature, Bear Druid, not an outlaw, even though he has a cowboy hat. Spells you cast from your graveyard or from exile cost 2 colorless less to cast, or 2 generic less to cast. Plotting cards from your hand cost 2 generic less. It's a 2/3. I mean, come on.
Yeah, it looks
fun. I think that's going to be pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether or not I'll actually be able to put together something in limited and win with it, who knows? But I still think it'd be a fun card.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then we got other weird legends like Obeka Splitter of Seconds.
Yep.
Have you seen that one? Yeah.
Yeah.
1 blue-black red for a legendary creature, Ogre Warlock, High Outlaw. For 2/5, yeah. Menace, and whenever it deals combat damage to a player, you get that many additional upkeep steps after this phase.
Oh, that's fantastic. So, if you hit me for 2 with Obeka, how many upkeeps are you getting?
2, unless I Giant Growth did, or probably like Monstrous Raid did.
you know what I'm saying, just as it is. Yeah, isn't that insane?
Yeah, it's
interesting. I think that's pretty crazy.
I did like what I saw. Like, obviously they mean for like do it with like upkeep triggers and suspend and that stuff. But it's also a way that the various win the game cards that trigger on your upkeep, you can actually get done without having to go through a whole turn cycle.
Oh, yeah. Look at that. So this card, I'm pretty sure, is not meant for limited Obeka. That's going to be.
I mean, it's a 2/5 menace for four, I guess. Probably four. Not.
Yeah.
It's not horrible. I don't know how much upkeep stuff is in the set.
And just in case anybody was keeping track, Obeka does not have a cowboy hat. So I'm finding some inconsistencies in the set already. Okay, sorry.
Yeah.
All right, yeah. What since you're the more serious, straight-faced one, Vincent, what else?
I mean, there's the new Black-Red Legend that just got spoiled today. So we're Akul the Unrepentant.
Unrepentant. Do you know what his nickname is on Scryfall? Because it's only in Japanese. Is in Japanese?
Yeah, I have
Crispy Crab Akul. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, so it's black, red, red for a legendary creature, Scorpion Dragon Rogue, Flying Trample 5/5. First of all, that is. I mean, I get that CCDD is hard to cast, but still. And you know, it's not a demon, it's a dragon, so instead we have an upside, because of course we do. Sacrifice three other creatures. You may put a creature card from your hand onto the battlefield. Activate only as a sorcery and only once each turn.
What more could you want? It's a 5/5. It has flample.
It should make trample tokens instead of making you sack them. That'd be really fire.
That'd be really. But would that be in the would that be the right color identity for Crispy Crab Akul?
As long as they're zombies, so. It probably would be fine.
Did somebody already bring that up? Because Gisa is in the set, and Gisa makes, even though Gisa is black identity, she makes blue black.
Because Geralf makes those zombies too, and they need it. They only want to use one token slot. That seems not horrible.
It's not horrible, but it's a little lore. It's a little Vorthos for everybody. There you go, everybody.
Yeah.
Let's
see.
Which I think, and there is, I believe there's a new creature type that has not appeared before. Correct me if I'm wrong, but Varmint? I don't think there's any other Varmints, are there?
I
believe Varmint is a new creature type. Because there's the Rise of the Varmint that makes Varmint creature tokens, and then there is an actual Voracious Varmint, creature type Varmint. So there you guys go. See, look at that.
There's another new type as well. We have the first possum in Magic.
We have the first possum?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, we do. It's a mount too. It's a mount. It's a rambling possum. 2 and a green for a 3/3 possum mount. Whenever it attacks while saddled, it gets +1/+2 until end of turn. Then you may return any number of creatures that saddle it this turn to their owner's hand. Saddle 1. Wow. I didn't know about the possum. Let's see. Armadillo. This is the first time we've had armadillos. This set is a bunch of firsts.
Yeah.
Say what you want about the umpteen hundred mechanics and legendary creatures. We have varmints, we have a possum, and we have 2 armadillos. I don't know what more you guys would want. What any players in Magic would want.
How about mana drain?
Did you see all the ox support that we're getting in this set? Come on. We got Holy Cow. Right? That's going to be one? Oh, really? Wait, hold on. Oh, you don't like Holy Cow because Holy Cow is not subtle. Right? Would you like it if it said, like, Divine Bovine or something?
Or could it just been an Ox Angel? But the other part is, like, what point does it have to be here? Other than the set as cows.
It's trying to do a Western theme. There's oxes. Like, there's cattle. Wee yeehaw. Vincent, you know why there's cows here. It's Thunder Junction. It's well established that Thunder Junction was full of cattle. I'm making that up. So Mana Drain. Wait, Mana Drain is going to be standard legal?
No, it's on the breaking news sheet. And so is Original Loco.
Oh, so what does that mean if it's on the breaking news sheet? So it's not standard legal. Those are just...
It's like the Enchanted Tales in Eldraine or the Retro Artifacts in Brothers War. There'll be one in each pack, and then you can play them in limited, but they're only legal where they would normally be legal, except if they're coming onto the arena for the first time, like Mana Drain is. And we'll see how that shakes up Timeless, assuming it gets banned in Historic.
How it shakes up. I'll tell you how it shakes it up. It's going to shake it up to where it's not going to be as much fun because now there's Mana Drain.
Are you looking forward to having show and tell every time going to be fun?
No, I do not believe. I believe that is outside the scope of this podcast. Did you like show and tell showed up? It's like, okay, cool. I guess I'm going to show myself out of this format. And then there you go. Because doesn't that pretty much run Timeless anymore?
Apparently, like that's like the big deck that's currently done. I mean, I think Timeless ain't going to be settled until we figure out how it's going to be messed up with Modern Horizons 3 and its free spells.
Messed up. Me of little faith, you think that free spells are going to mess up Timeless as a format?
I mean, we know it's going to probably have all five Evoke Elementals because they're special guests. Or at least Solitude is. That'll mess it up.
Yeah, that is true. That's true. I think it'll be cool and it'll be an opportunity to shake up the format. I'm looking at it positive.
So what's the over under of how many cards in that are in Modern Horizons 3 packs are going to be banned in Historic by month out?
You like per pack or you mean from the set?
Like, I mean, like count the special guests, count like whatever, like things that are in Modern Horizons 3 packs. That's what I mean.
Let's look how many cards are going to be in the set.
It'll probably be 250 plus like probably like a 10 or so special guests. Then like maybe they'll have like a couple other on the list.
I'm throwing it way up there. I'm going to say 10%. I'm going to say, you know what? I'll go just start 25. Let's say 25.
Yeah, that's
Let's
probably a crazy. Decent thing. Cause like, I wouldn't be surprised. Like if all five Evoke Elementals are banned, like you've already got the five fetch lands, I guess those are technically banned. I wouldn't probably count those, but still, if you're going to go high, you might as well.
So there we go. There's 10 right there. I think my prediction's looking pretty good right now. Everybody remember, you heard it here first on Monday Night Magic. 25 banned cards from the set. Does it come out to what, June?
May.
May? Yeah, it doesn't even come out to May. We don't even know what's going to be in it, but we're saying, yeah, it's going to be 25. Makes perfect sense. I'm gonna hold true to that. And if I'm wrong, I don't know what to say, what bet to make in place.
And again, we'll still figure out if anyone actually hears this. We're still not sure how this is gonna get posted as we're recording, but we'll figure it out.
We're just talking to each other. It doesn't get posted anywhere. It's also on vacation. He's like, yeah, whatever. He could just put up static for 45 minutes because I wouldn't listen anyway. I'd be like, yay, Tom posted it. I'm like, okay. All I know is I want us to break the 30 listener format. And I think we're going to break break 30 listeners. And then we need to have like a party.
Across all.
Total, really. I mean, in a single episode. We're going to do it. We can do it. I bet we can do it with the combination of what we have with strategy and lore and our wit, charm, and humor.
We're gonna break 30 tonight. It's all business.
It is all business. We've done good. It's been all magic. I've gotten very. Do you know that the Gitrog is in Thunder Junction?
Yes.
Do you believe that Rutstein is in Thunder Junction?
Everything. I mean, like, is in.
They're all here. Helen. A good guy galore in every set. Kellen's made an appearance in Thunder Junction. I don't.
Did they kill him off at the end of the story or not?
Do you want to know?
Because is the answer probably yes.
No, they don't.
Oh,
well, I don't think. I think Kellen is there. Like that's what they're using to tether together. Right, all the different.
I know they're tethering out the first year with him, but we'll see what happens with the next one.
See what happens. Here's a spoiler alert. We already did it earlier. Guess what? Ashiok in the story is not Ashiok. It's Jace for this whole Thunder Junction.
Uh-huh.
Every time you read the story, it's Ashiok in Thunder Junction. It's not. It's Jace. Jace and Vraska team up and they double cross Oko and the gang of outlaws to take what's out of the vault. And we don't even know what the vault and what MacGuffin thing was in the vault. There's a description of it, but it never says, like, you know, this is Yoda. This is a flaming.
We'll find that out on Tuesday when they spoil the vault stuff, I assume.
Oh,
yeah.
Maybe?
Like, because as I said, like, most of the main set is spoiled at this point. I think, I don't know if I said that in the pre-show or what, but like most of the main set is spoiled. There's still like 20 something cards, I think, that are left, but then we still got all the, most of the breaking news to cover. We've got the vault to cover. We've got the commander stuff to cover. Yeah. All kinds of stuff to take us. And then the pre-release is not next week, but the week after.
Yeah, it is. I know. Boo. Wizards, I know you listen to this podcast because we're going to break 30 listeners in a single episode. Stop doing the pre-releases like evenly spaced out, because some people work on every other weekend. So when you always have the pre-release on like the even weekends off, nobody gets, we don't get to go. I know it's something simple, but just move it up or down. Not obviously once they've already planned it. You know what I'm saying? But like, yeah, instead of doing it 14 weeks apart, if you do one 14 weeks apart, the next one do 15 or 13 or 7, 8, you know.
How about
like,
7?
Switch it up. 7, there you go. Whatever, yeah. The way they're going out, right?
I mean, it is basically every 2 months now, because I mean, like it's at like the end of May is when Modern Horizons, and then I think it's like end of June, beginning of July is Assassin's Creed, and then Bloomberg is August.
Yeah, so just a little. That's my request. Just a it's nothing huge. It's just a little thing. I would love to play in the pre-release, but when I'm working every other weekend, I can't when all the pre-releases are on the same weekend. Just on the same, you know, evenly spaced weekends. Just I bet this will strike a chord. There are other people listening that agree with this, and they should also let Wizards know that they need to do that. And who knows, we might be the people who enact that change. Monday Night Magic, we might get that changed. I'm serious. I don't know why you're laughing. That hurts my feelings. I'm 100% serious.
Yes, this will be our this will be our cause, I guess.
That's my cause right now. I just want it. If they can switch it, you know, hey, just do it odds apart, right? It'll work out. Odd, right? Because two odds make an even. So do an odd and then do an odd number again and then odd. So that way they're switching. So now people who work every third weekend, you're screwed. I'm sorry. It's not my fault. And if you work every weekend, once again, not my fault. If you work every other weekend, this is an easy one. If you work every third weekend, you can figure it out. I mean, come on, Wizards, you can do it. They can do it. Oh my gosh. It is. We've talked a lot.
Yeah.
We have talked. I will have to be jetting out shortly for my next engagement.
So we should probably start wrapping things up. So where can people contact you?
You can contact me at Dr. No Pants 1, the number 1, on Twitter, not what the other name is. Or you can contact me at Brent at dadbodmtg.com. That's our email. I love emails because I'm old.
Yeah.
How do we get a hold of you, Vincent?
Because I'm slightly less old.
Yeah. Discord. Sorry.
Yeah, we have a Discord and people talk on it. Even if it's just me randomly reacting to spoilers or Tom updating us on his vacation that we don't get to see.
Well, that's good. He's allowed the privacy. We've had listeners post in our Discord. Yeah, we've had Ghost Me. I'm looking through it now. Ghost Muse. I saw him throw up about Mana Drain. Like, yeah, we get people that post in the Discord.
Yeah.
Feel free to post in there. We post silly things. We post serious things. We try and keep Vincent on track in the Discord. So if you can help us with that and not post anything that's not.
You can't even keep a straight face this time. You aren't as good as Tom with that.
Nope, I can't. I can't because it makes me laugh. Because you're straight. We have what is it? Cage the Quiet? Kage? I don't know how to pronounce that. This is a shout out to our listeners who post in Discord. Post in Discord. It makes us so happy.
Yeah,
it's like running out to the mailbox and getting a letter when you're a kid. You're like, yes, it's so fun. That's what posting in Discord is like.
Yeah, it's the easiest way to let us know that we're not talking into a void.
I will still talk into a void. That's fine.
Yeah.
And I bet Wizards listens to us. I bet there's somebody at Wizards that listens to us.
I wouldn't be surprised. Like, I bet they have people whose job it is just listen to every piece of content.
Every
especially good. With something with like, because again, Tom has connections.
Yeah, every yeah, exactly right.
And we're probably going to lose all of them with this solo podcast that's gone off the rails.
We haven't gone off that. We've done really good this time. So you can get a hold of me, or you can get a hold of Vincent on Discord. Tom is at tom@dadbodmtg.com. Tom loves emails.
Yeah.
Or once again on the Discord.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think we've given our contact information. We have a lot of topics that were discussed.
Yeah.
We have made and we'll it probably rally.
Talk about a bunch of them the same time again when we talk next with Tom.
Yes. I don't know when Tom's going to be back, but yes, yeah. We will discuss it again next time.
Yeah. And we'll probably have like all of the various sets spoiled by then.
Yeah. All the sets and whatever new sets are going to announce. Fun. But that's a rant for another cast.
Yes. Until next time. Right. Goodbye.
Goodbye.